up, they didn't just watch. They were taking pictures, and they were taking video of roughly 100 people. Take a guess how many people called the police.
One
person. One out of 100 called the police. Nobody stepped in to help. Nobody stepped in to help. Think about that. No one, not one person helped. One person made a phone call. Now, I'm gonna give you a little more to it because it infuriated me. Gina knows this. We were talking yesterday. This absolutely infuriated me. That a quote pastor in the area stood and gave a little conference. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. But stood and said that the victims should be arrested, mugshotted, and their pictures put in the paper. They were in the wrong. Now, I don't know what they were in the wrong for, but then the mayor of Cincinnati stood right by this pastor, this race-baiting pastor. Look, folks, sin is not a skin issue. What happened there wasn't a skin issue, it was a sin issue. It's a sin issue. So this, the reason I introduce this is I'm not trying to stir up racial issues. It's not about that. If this had been opposite, if it had been a black couple beat up by white people, it would have been over the national news. It would have been all over the national news. It would have been covered all over. But half of you haven't heard of it because they're not going to talk about it. But the problem with that, let me read what the president of Cincinnati's Fraternal Order of Police said this. He says, how do you not call 911? How do you not try to render some aid? You have a woman who is knocked unconscious. That's just crazy to me that we live in a society that people would rather take a video than actually try to stop something from happening or intervening and try to render aid. It's just, to me, it's pretty disgusting. Now, what do you think of that? Do you agree? Does it shock you? Does it shock you that people would stand by and do nothing? It doesn't shock you. I appreciate that because that's probably the truth. It doesn't shock me. Should it shock us? Does it infuriate you? It infuriates me that a man who says he's a man of God stands up and now turns it and says the victims are the criminals and the criminals are the victims. The world's upside down. But that's where we're at today. That's the issue of sin. But does it infuriate you? I'm trying to get this. Does it infuriate? Raise your hand if it infuriates you that one person made a phone call out of 100 and nobody helped. Raise your hand if that infuriates you. Okay. Then you're in agreement. We're in agreement on that. I'm absolutely in agreement with that. Sadly, this is a very similar scenario that we find in the Christian community, only it's infinitely worse. See, we stand by as people lost in their sin stumble blindly and hopelessly toward an eternal hell. Now, let me continue with this introduction, because we all raised our hand that infuriates us, because no one stepped in. When someone, it's not a minor thing, but in the picture of going to hell or being beat up, that was a minor thing. That infuriates us. And yet we sit by as a whole, as the Christian community, and we don't do anything as people are stumbling blindly and hopelessly toward an eternal hell. And that doesn't infuriate us. We should just have an invitation right now. Open up and have repentance at the altar. Amen. I really think we could. Far, far too often, no one says a thing. As believers, you know, we don't step in to help. No one offers the simple words of the simple yet eternally powerful gospel to save them from destruction. Now, Bill Bright, president of Campus Crusade for Christ, he was quoted in a book called Why Christians Sin. It was written in 1992. I'm going to give you about three quotes from that book. But in there, Bill Bright's quoted, and he says this. He said, "Millions of surveys which we have helped to take around the world indicate that approximately, listen, 98% of the Christians do not regularly introduce others to the Savior." 98%. Well, that about fits what we heard. One out of 100 made a phone call. 98% of Christians do the exact same thing. We stand by as a lost world speeds by us, and we don't do a thing. I say we. That is a plural pronoun. It's an inclusive plural pronoun. Because I'm in this as well. J.K. Johnson, in the same book, said a 1980 Gallup poll indicated that out of all evangelical American believers, only 2% had introduced another person to Christ. So 98% never even try, and only 2% have ever led someone else to the Lord. Now, I'm not trying to browbeat you this morning, but I am trying to speak truth that God can use in our hearts to bring conviction that something has to change. Something has to change. J.K. Johnston, again, says this. He said, Christ met unbelievers where they were. He realized that many Christians today still... He realized that many Christians today still don't seem to understand. Cultivators have to get out in the field. According to one count, the Gospels record 132 contacts that Jesus had with people. 6 were in the temple, 4 in the synagogues, and 122 were out with the people in the mainstream of life. That means what Jesus did is as he was going through life, as he was all around, he was introducing people to himself. He was going up and introduced them. Hey, he could have gone up and says, "Hey, I can be your Savior. I'm the Messiah." He could say that because that's who he was. But he was introducing himself to people. He was introducing them to him. Now, 2 weeks ago, I preached this message, Christ Witness List, and we looked in there the witness of Jesus Himself. He was a witness to the fact that He was the Son of God. We saw that God the Father was a witness. John the Baptist was a witness. There was the witness of the divine miracles and the witness of the Word of God. All declare that Jesus Christ is indeed one with the Father and the very Son of God. And that's what we saw. Those five testified to that fact that Jesus is who He said He was. He is the Son of God. He is the Word made flesh. He is the Messiah. He is those things. And He brought those witnesses as He's basically testifying. It wasn't a court of law, but it was a hearing. It was a hearing nonetheless. And He was being tried by the religious leaders of the day. And He presents His case of who He is. And I told you He went further. He didn't just say, "Well, I'm this." He goes on to say, "Yeah, I'm the Messiah. And let me tell you who else will testify to that." So He presents the case. But I want to present to you this morning that there is a sixth witness that Jesus doesn't name here, but He will commission in the closing days of His ministry here on earth, and that's what He does. And as your notes say, this is the witness of the redeemed. It's the witness of the redeemed. Those who are saved, those who know God, we are to witness to that fact. So, talking about the witness of the redeemed, what is a witness? What do you think... What do you think of when you hear the word witness? Well, most people probably think of someone in a courtroom. A witness is someone that has seen something take place, and they're there to tell all that they saw or all that they heard or all they experienced. Okay, so they're not talking about what they've seen, heard. They're there to share what they know, right? In a court of law, that's what they're there. And they're sworn, if you've ever been to court, you put your hand, I don't think they even do the Bible anymore. You used to have to put your hand on the Bible and hold your hand up and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, means you don't hold anything out, and nothing but the truth, which means you don't add anything to it. So basically that covers it of telling the whole story, a proper story, not a skewed story, but just to tell the truth. That's the purpose of that. Now, likewise, as Christians, we're called to be witnesses for Christ, and we are to present a testimony about the truth, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We're to testify of the truth of Jesus Christ, that we have seen And you go, well, I've never seen Jesus. Well, if you're a believer, you've seen Jesus. Your spiritual eyes have seen him. Heard. What have you heard? You've heard messages preached. You've heard the Word of God as you've read it. You hear it in your head. You've heard others read it to you. You've heard the Holy Spirit speak to you if you are a believer. So you've seen him, you've heard him, and you have experienced him. If you're truly born again, you have a testimony of what you've experienced. So that's what a witness is, and we're to share those things. So I want us to back up a little bit, because we tend to have this idea maybe that this idea of witnessing is a new thing, that Jesus implemented that. You go and you be a witness for me, that he implemented that. But we really find this idea all through the Scriptures. See, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus calls his disciples witnesses and calls them to go to the ends of the earth with his gospel by the power of the Spirit. Acts 1, 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When is that? It's when you're born again. When you are saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. There's not a second filling. You get all of the Holy Spirit when you're born again. Now, you may get closer to the Lord. You may empty yourself of you and then be filled with the Spirit, getting you out of the way. But you have the Holy Spirit in you at salvation. And he says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And he says you will. Not you might. It might happen. He says you will. And then he says, and you will be my witnesses. There was no question in this in Jesus' mind. If you are a believer, when you get saved, when you come to faith in Christ, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, you have power. And with that, then, you will be my witnesses. He says in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But this isn't just a New Testament thing that started with Christ sending out his disciples. It's something that we see all throughout Scripture. From the beginning, we can see God's plan to use his people, to be his witnesses to the nations for his glory. That's the purpose. We, his people, people that he calls, that he saves, they are to be his people, and then they're to be his witnesses. The idea is he saves us and he sends us. He saves us not for just for me. Praise God, I'm glad he saved me. But it didn't end right there. If it ended right there, he just took me home right there. But when I got saved, then there's a purpose for my life, and my purpose is now to glorify him and to make him known. That's my job. That's your job. That's what we're to do as his children. We're to be his witnesses, and we're to do it to the nations, to all the nations, and we do it for his glory. Now, God calls a people to himself. There's four things right here. You've got some blanks there, but here's what he calls a people to himself. He calls us to himself, number one, to know him. He wants us to know him, but then he wants us to be set apart to him. Okay, we're to be sanctified. We're to be set apart for his work. He didn't save me to make me a millionaire for my own glory. Right? He didn't prosper me just for my glory. He didn't give me the house I have for my glory and my comfort. He gives us everything he's given us. He has saved my soul. Now, he wants to save us because he wants relationship with us. But it doesn't end there. That's only the beginning. Then he wants to use me to go and win others into his family. So he wants to know me. He wants me to be set apart to him. He wants us to tell these people that are saved, his people, he wants to tell of what they've experienced. You go, well, I don't know how to witness to somebody. Well, did you get saved? Yes, you got saved. Well, then if you got saved, you have to know how you got saved. And if you know how you got saved, well, I got saved because I trusted in Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he was born of a virgin, as Brandon said this morning. I believe he was born of a virgin. He's God in flesh. I believe he lived a sinless life, and he went to the cross and died for my sin. And on the third day, he rose again. Well, you know what? Then you know what to tell. That's right. You know the gospel, and you can share that with others because you can now share what he did for you. And it's not about your story, about going on. You tell that, and then you spend 25 minutes talking about you. No, it's all about him. You talk about what he did for me. Man, I was a lost sinner. I was going to hell. He saved me when I trusted in him. So we want to, he wants us to tell of what we've experienced, and he wants us to do it to all nations. Now, not all of us are ever going to go to, some of us will never go to a foreign country. Some of us will never go. Others have been to foreign countries. Some of us in here may end up being missionaries in a foreign country. We're not all going to go. But you know what? Right now, we have an opportunity. If you go walk down that hallway, you're going to see about 15 or 16 missionaries that we're supporting now in mission works all around the world that you get to be a part of through your giving. You get to be a part of that through your prayers. You get to be a part of that through the maybe letters or cards you send or emails. They've all got email addresses. You can email them and encourage them. You can be a part of their work. But that's not where it ends. You get to walk out these doors at the end of the service today, and you get to go out in this world around us where there are people that are lost all around us, and we have the opportunity to share the gospel. You have the opportunity to tell them about Christ. So we are to be, they were, those who God has called, they were to be his representatives to this lost world. That's what we are to be, witnesses and representatives. We can see this early on with Abraham and when God promises to make him a great nation that will be a blessing to all the nations. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It starts there. Abraham is to serve God. He's to follow God. And he's to be a blessing to the world around him. We see this take place in the book of Exodus. God has just rescued the Israelites from slavery and is calling them out of his out as his people to worship him and to proclaim all that they have experienced. And Exodus 19, the second part of verse 3 through verse 6. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel. Listen, you yourselves have seen what I did. They saw. They saw what God did. You saw what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. That's what they experienced. They saw what he did to the Egyptians, but they experienced as he brought them out, as he says, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. They experienced. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, they hear. They hear from him. What I tell you, do. So they saw it. They heard it. They've experienced it. That's what he wants them to share. And keep my covenant. You shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. And we're to share this. They were to reflect on all God had done for them. We ought to do the same thing. We ought to reflect on what God's done for us. And this morning, if you're in a little bit of a pity party, you're a little depressed, a little things are down, things aren't great, you know what we do? We need to reflect on what God has done for us. Man, I don't care what your situation is. If you are saved, you ought to be thankful. We ought to be full of gratitude. We ought to be full of joy because of what he's done. Amen? Amen? Okay. They were reflecting on what God had done for them. They were to cling closely to him by obeying his word. So we reflect on what he's done for us. But as I grow in my love for God, you know how we grow in love? You know how you show love? If you love me, you keep my commandments. You obey. So he wants us to know who he is. He wants us to know what he's done. Reflect on that. Cling closely to him by obeying his word. Man, you say you're a Christian and you don't pay attention to the word. You say you're a Christian and I love Jesus, but you don't obey what he clearly communicates for us to do in his word. That's what he wants us to do. And they were to be his treasured possession. But this isn't just for their own sake, but to be a kingdom of priests with the role of being set apart for him in order to declare his praise to the lost world. That's the big reason of what it was. They're going to be priests. What's priest? They're going to represent Christ. They're going to speak of Christ, of God. They're going to share. That's what they were doing. They were going to tell the world around them, this lost world, about the God that they served and all he had done for them. And then this theme continues all throughout the Old Testament with priests and prophets and judges, and they're doing that. We get a clear picture in this again in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 10 through 12. He says, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Even there, God is saying, you are my witnesses to tell this world around you who I am. You are to point people to me. You are to, there was a commercial, Gino, you probably remember this commercial, Crazy Rays or whatever, and I think it was Crazy Rays in Athens. And he used to say, push them, pull them, drag them, or drive them. It was a car place. And bring your trade in. Push it, pull it, drag it, or drive it. Folks, that's what we ought to be doing. Push them, pull them, drag them, drive, whatever, however, get them to Jesus. That's what we need to be doing. We see it all throughout the Old Testament. Throughout all the scriptures, we can see God's people called to be witnesses in order to proclaim this truth and faithful, this true and faithful God that we know and have experienced. If we know Him, we've experienced Him, and then we can share Him. This witness is not only in word, but also in our deeds. Our lives should testify to the story we are a part of as God's children. We are set apart. We're redeemed, sanctified, and live in light of this because of whose we are. Not because of who I am, but because of whose I am. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 brings this calling from all Scripture together so beautifully. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And He's not talking to the children of Israel. He's talking to believers, those who've been born again, those who've been saved from their sin. God's special possession. Why? You have to really look at this. You are this, that. And that word that is a kind of a why. Why then have you been this, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light? That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So you can see it is God who saves those who are told the good news and repent and believe, but not the person who does the witnessing. So as I go out and witness, I'm not saving anybody. That's not my job. My job is just to go tell. My job is to be a witness. I don't have to, in a court of law, the witness testifies. The witness doesn't make a decision. They don't have to judge or anything. The judge has to make that decision. But we witness, God then works in the heart and people respond to the gospel and they're saved. Then they are, when they are saved, then they're to go and declare this great God who has come, that they've come to know and trust. So when we come to faith and we get to know Christ, then we're to go and tell others. We're to testify of what He's done for us. We're to witness of what we have seen and what we've heard and we've experienced. The role of the witness is simply to share all that they have seen, heard, and experienced. God does the saving. Now notice this. All means what? All means all. All who know Him are to proclaim Him, not just a certain talented or chosen few. We've got the idea in church that it's the preacher's job, it's his job to do all the witnessing. He's the one to do the home visitation, the hospital visits. He's the one when somebody visits to follow up. He's the one that always is to share the gospel. Now, I try to do all that. I try. But that's not my job. It really isn't my job more than it's your job. Because that's really not my job as pastor or preacher of the word. That's my job as a Christian. Therefore, it's your job as a Christian to do those things. It's your job. All of us. Listen again. If we're born again, it is our job to witness for Christ. It is our job to do that. So why do we witness for Christ? Why do we witness for Christ? Several examples or several things here. First is this, Jesus is an example. He was an example for us. Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim. Now listen as you read this. To proclaim good news to the poor. There's a spiritual meaning behind these things. He can preach good news to the poor that he's come to help the poor. But it's a spiritual thing, what he's talking about here. He's talking about his witnessing to who he is. He had come to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty. What is liberty? It's freedom, being set free. To the captives. What are we captive to? We're captive to sin, and we preach liberty from that in Christ. And receiving the sight to the blind. Well, what is the blindness? It's a spiritual blindness. We've not seen who God is. There's a spiritual blindness there. And he preaches the recovery of sight. We can regain our sight. We can see the truth. To set at liberty. He has come to set us free. Listen, it's more than setting us free. It's to make us free. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So what did Jesus do? He came to witness to who he was. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he came to do. And if we're going to do what he does, we're to be out there seeking. And I can't save anybody, but I am to seek and to share with those who are lost. It is his job to save those because he's still seeking them. And he's seeking them through us. It's also because Jesus' command, his command, Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And you really could have the therefore. He said, all of authority has been given to me. Therefore, but it says, go therefore. And the idea is there, therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? All of what he just said, now this. And that word go therefore, go means this. It means depart. Go. And it can mean go away, go forth, go one's way, or go up. It's the idea. Go. Make, to make a or take a. You can make a journey or take a journey. Make a walk or take a walk. It's this idea of as you are going. So when he says go this morning, really, when we're at the end of this, we ought to say go. Go. We're done. Go. Go. So as you are going, as you leave here, as you go to Publix and pick up your sub this afternoon, or you go to the restaurant, or wherever you go, whatever it is you do, as you are going, be a witness for Christ. As you are going, do these things. Go, therefore. Go and make disciples of all nations. Make what? Disciples. Of whom? You know what's pretty cool is if we would get really serious about this, the nations are coming to us in Florida. Really all over the country. But there are nationalities from all over the world that are here in Florida now. We can walk out our door and be witnesses and make disciples of the nations. That doesn't mean we stop there. We should be involved with global evangelism. But he says, go, as you are going, as you are living life, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's to bring them into fellowship with the body of Christ, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Well, that's discipleship, as we teach them. I love what Brandon said. Brandon said, we were talking right here after the baptism. He said, we're getting up and we're doing a Bible study. We're reading the Bible together. We're praying. They're doing those things as a young Christian. If we were going to be honest, there's some of you in here that haven't read your Bible this week. May not have prayed this week. But I showed up on Sunday morning. Now, I'm glad you're here this morning. But we got a new believer that's maybe further down the road than some of us that are sitting here, that are here every Sunday. Is my walk real? Am I serious about this? Has God really saved me and made a difference? Because if he saved you, he's made a difference in your life. You can't be the same. You shouldn't want to be the same. And then he says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And that's a promise from the Lord to be with us every step of the way. He said, go do it, and I'm going with you. Yeah. Acts 1:8, again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. If you are saved, if we are saved, we have this command. It is to go. As you are going, make disciples. As you go, you will be my witnesses. That's what we're to do. Third thing, we're called to be ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative. So an example, because I don't know a whole lot about, I know two ambassadors I can name. One's Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker is an ambassador to the Bahamas, I believe. So what he is a representative. He is there representing the United States. He is standing as a in their stead. He represents America. The things he says, he's representing. Mike Huckabee is the U.S. ambassador to Israel. And so he is a representative of the United States there. Hello. All right. It wasn't that. False alarm. Sorry. I'm feeling better. My brain, y'all gonna hate this because my brain's firing a little quicker. And stuff pops in there, and I don't have a filter sometimes. So, an ambassador, 2 Corinthians 5:18-20. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. So, God, through Christ, reconciled us to himself. That's what God was doing through Christ. Through the work, what Christ did as he came to this earth, as he lived a sinless life. He didn't do that just to model for us how to live. Because if that's all he did, we would be, man, you talk about miserable. And he was God in flesh. He was sinless. He had no sin nature. He never sinned. And if that's what I have to be to go to heaven, I'll never get there. That, when you talk about frustration, he didn't come just to show us how to live. Now, he did show us how to live. But we can't do it short of the Holy Spirit within us. So what he was doing is he went to the cross. His whole work was salvation. That's what he did. It was reconciling us to God. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. And listen, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He saved us. Then he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, I think I asked this maybe a couple weeks ago. Did someone else witness to you? Did someone witness you? When did you get saved? When did you first hear the gospel? Did someone share with you? You know, I told you I got invited to go play basketball. And I got down there, and then they had waylaid me. So they had, it was a plot to get me there so they could witness to me. And I praise God for it. I don't remember ever shooting a basketball that day, but I came into the kingdom of God that day. And they witnessed to me, and the guy shared with me the gospel. And he said, you know, if you died right now, where would you go? And I said, well, I hope I'd go to heaven. He said, well, you don't have to hope. And he shared the gospel with me. Man, I was like that fruit on a tree. You know, when fruit's ripe, you just go up and tap it, and it'll fall in your hand. And I was ripe. I was ready. I had heard about the Lord, but I'd never heard the gospel. No one ever shared that with me. And that day, I trusted Christ as my Savior. And so when I got saved, instantly the Lord gives us the ministry of reconciliation that we go now and tell others. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. He entrusted that message to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are here in his stead. We represent him, God making his appeal through us. What is the appeal? Believe on my son. Repent of your sin and believe. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Verse very clearly speaks to me that there's a decision that we have to make. There's a response to the gospel that we have to make. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. We're his representatives. That verse continues. So then I ask, why? If we're a special people, we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, why? It says, that you may declare. We talked about this. The praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We ought to be able to praise that. Amen? Amen. We ought to be able to declare that. Man, if I was getting beat up and somebody jumped in and stopped them from beating me up, I would be telling everybody. I'd want to get on the news and say, I'm so thankful for them. They intervened and they helped me. Man, they were kicking me. They were stomping me. They might have killed me, and they intervened and they saved me. And I'm so grateful for John over here who stepped in to help me. I'm so grateful for that. Jesus has saved us from our sin. Amen. He died on the cross for me. And I don't open my mouth. I'm shy. We're not shy about sharing our diets. We're not shy about certain political things. We're not shy. Listen, people say they're shy. You just get them on the right issue. I don't know what their issue is, but you get them on the right issue, they're no longer shy because that's their thing. Jesus ought to be our thing. He ought to be our thing. All the time we ought to be sharing Him. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. 1 Corinthians 1:31. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. That's what we ought to be doing. Glorying in the Lord. Glorying. That's what it is, man. When we go out and preach, we're just proclaiming Jesus. We're just sharing Jesus. We're just trumpeting Jesus with those around us, telling them what He's done. All right, I'm going to pick it up a little bit here. We are to partner. We are to partner with God in proclaiming the good news. Romans 10:13-15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom they have not have never heard? You get the logic here? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. See, our job is to go out and preach the good news. And He's sending us. Well, I haven't been ordained. The church hadn't commissioned me to go out and be an evangelist or be a missionary. No, I don't have to because God's already done it. Every one of you in here, if the Holy Spirit's indwelling you, He has commissioned you. He has commanded you. He has sent you. You've been sent. So you can go tell, and when they hear, then they can believe and be saved. Witnessing is part of being a disciple. Matthew 4:19. And He said to them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. I mean, if we're going to be a follower of Jesus, it means we're going to be a fisher of men. It means we're going to be a disciple maker. Listen, if you are not in the business of making disciples, then the question is, are you really a disciple? Because one of the key bullet points, if you're looking at a job description of a disciple, is someone who makes disciples. So if we're not going to make disciples, then the question begs, am I really a disciple? If I don't make disciples, if I don't do anything to make disciples, and the fact is I don't really have a heart, I don't really care about making disciples. It's a question we need to consider. Am I really a disciple? Witnessing is a response to what Christ has done for you. Acts 4:20. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. If you're truly born again, how can you not tell? I've shared the story about Michael Jordan calling on the phone. Gosh, that's 30 years ago. 28, 29 years ago, I guess. And he calls our office, and he knew my boss, and I didn't think my boss knew him, but I'm on a phone with Michael Jordan, and I didn't know it till he said it, but, you know, his voice, if you've ever heard Michael Jordan's voice, it's distinct, and I knew then instantly it was him. And so then I'm stuttering and stammering on the phone. Okay. And I get off the phone, and I'm like, wow, that was stupid. Get Michael Jordan on the phone. What are you going to do? 30 years ago, I talked to Michael Jordan on the phone, and I'm telling you that story today for Michael Jordan, who, best I know, he's as lost in a ball in high grass. He's a filthy-mouthed man. He's a lost man. And I get all excited about that. Whoo! Man, we ought to have that kind of energy to talk about Jesus. Witnessing, we should be witnessing because we love others. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And you can also reference 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, but I'll let you read that on your own for the sake of time. But see, it's not only the gospel. I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to share my life with you. We ought to We ought to love the people, at the very least, the people around us. We ought to care enough to share the gospel. The people we work with, well, I don't like them. Well, the Bible doesn't say you have to like them, but it does say you have to love them. If you love them, you ought to share the gospel with them. You don't have to like them. I got family that I love, I don't like. Amen?
Amen.
I'm just being honest. Scripture doesn't command me to like people. It commands me to love them. We, the truly born again, have as powerful a testimony as these who saw Jesus in the flesh. Now, Pastor Aaron, if you want to go and make ready. Yeah. Oh, second service? Okay. I thought y'all were going to get a double blessing, but second service. All right. All right. You don't have to go make ready then. You're already ready. Okay. So we, the truly born again, have as powerful a testimony as those who saw Jesus in the flesh. 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to have to go back to that because it talks there about that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands. John's talking about Christ. They saw him in person. They witnessed him in person. They heard him in person. They went with him. They ministered with him. They saw all these things, and then they testify to what they saw. So we understand that testimony. But folks, let me tell you, we have as powerful a testimony as they had. See, we have the completed Word of God. They didn't have this. Some of them were actually writing. They would be the writers of this. They didn't have the completed Word of God. We have that. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Now, those that were born again, they had the Holy Spirit indwelling. But we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And we have our personal experience testimony of what the Lord has done in our own changed lives. We have that. We have a powerful testimony. So, Pastor Aaron, you can, I guess, come if you're playing. Whoever's playing. We're close. Okay. All right. I think you told me that, so. You want to finish this up? No, okay. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Folks, that can be a public testimony. I say sometimes on Wednesday night, hey, the scripture says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And somebody shouted, "So." I think Trish would say, "So." But what that means is, man, if you've been redeemed, why don't you tell people? And it's simple. Man, I'm thankful God saved my soul. 1983, he saved my soul. I was lost and going to hell. I heard the gospel. He convicted me of my sin. I responded. He saved me. And if you've been saved, you ought to say so. But this is more than that, because this is a say-so to get out here and to say so to the world around us. Don't stand by as those cowards or cohorts did in Cincinnati. Do something. Say something. Make every effort to keep the lost out of hell. Don't let people go to hell because we didn't or wouldn't say something. Yeah, but preacher, you know, people will think I'm crazy. I saw this quote right here. I saw this yesterday somewhere, but it said, "Satan has a way of making you look crazy to the eyes of unbelievers." Don't let that discourage you from spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. A soul is worth more than someone's opinion of you. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for, Lord, just the challenge you've given us, the command you've given, the commission that you've given us. Lord, there are major companies. If they called us and offered us a job, we would stumble all over ourselves to go do that job. There are some that if they were invited to go to the White House would absolutely almost die because they got to go to the White House to see a president or to see this president. And yet, Lord, you, the God of the universe, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, you have, if we are born again, you have saved us. But you haven't just saved us, you've called us and you've commissioned us. You've sent us now to go and to tell about what we received, to tell of all that we've seen and heard and experienced of Jesus, to introduce them to Jesus, to point them to Jesus so that they could be reconciled to you. Lord, as believers this morning, I just pray, God, you'll take this, you'll just speak to our hearts, convict our hearts, that if we're not the witness that we need to be, if we're not doing the job that you have called and commissioned us to do, I pray right now will be a time of repentance for that, of brokenness for that. And that, God, we would turn to you and say, Lord, help me to be that witness that you want me to be. But Lord, this morning there may be someone here that they can't go be a witness because they haven't experienced salvation yet. Lord, if there's even one that's in our midst today who have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, they've never realize their sinfulness and that sin that has separated from God, that there's nothing they can do anything about themselves, but that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary, and you bore our sin, you took our place on that cross, so that if we would trust you, if we would just confess our sin to you, turn from that and turn to you, Lord, it says you will save our soul. We believe in you, we place our faith in you. God, if there's even one here this morning that's never been born again, I pray you'd speak to them right now. Lord, pound their heart right now. Make them uncomfortable right now so they realize, I need Jesus this morning. And I pray they'd step out. When we start this song here in a moment, they'll step out. They'll step out, come down, and allow someone to take the Word of God and introduce them to Jesus this morning. Father, just bless them, work and move. Lord, for those who need to just maybe come and talk to you this morning, I pray we'll do that. And this altar will be open.